Manuscript Releases, Volume 15. Mr. Number 1141. Cautions about making doctrinal differences prominent. Contemplating the marvels and mysteries of the Incarnation, audio. I have something to say to you that I should withhold no longer. I have been looking in vain as yet to get an article that was written nearly 20 years ago in reference to the added law. I read this to Elder J. H. Wagoner. I stated then to him that I had been shown that his position in regard to the law was incorrect, and from the statements I made to him he has been silent upon the subject for many years. I have not been in the habit of reading any doctrinal articles in the paper, that my mind should not have any understanding of anyone's ideas and views, and that not a mold of any man's theories should have any connection with that which I write. I have sent repeatedly for my writings on the law, but that special article has not yet appeared. There is such an article in Healdsburg, I am well aware, but it has not come as yet. I have much writing many years old on the law, but the special article that I read to Elder Wagoner has not come to me yet. Letters came to me from some attending the Healdsburg College in regard to Brother E. J. W.S. Wagoner's teachings in regard to the two laws. I wrote immediately protesting against their doing contrary to the light which God had given us in regard to all differences of opinion, and I heard nothing in response to the letter. It may never have reached you. If you, my brethren, had the experience that my husband and myself have had in regard to these known differences being published in articles in our papers, you would never have pursued the course you have, either in your ideas advanced before our students at the college, either would it have appeared in the science. Especially at this time should everything like differences be repressed. These young men are more self-confident and less cautious than they should be. You must, as far as difference is concerned, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Even if you are fully convinced that your ideas of doctrines are sound, you do not show wisdom that difference should be made apparent. I have no hesitancy in saying you have made a mistake here. You have departed from the positive directions God has given upon this matter, and only harm will be the result. This is not in God's order. You have now set the example for others to do as you have done, to feel at liberty to put in their various ideas and theories and bring them before the public. Because you have done this, this will bring in a state of things that you have not dreamed of. I have wanted to get out articles in regard to the law, but I have been moving about so much, my writings are where I cannot have the advantage of them. It is no small matter for you to come out in the signs as you have done, and God has plainly revealed that such things should not be done. We must keep before the world a united front. Satan will triumph to see differences among Seventh-day Adventists. These questions are not vital points. I have not read Elder Butler's pamphlet or any articles written by any of our writers and do not mean to. But I did see years ago that Elder J. H. Wagoner's views were not correct, and read to him matter which I had written. The matter does not lie clear and distinct in my mind yet. I cannot grasp the matter, and for this reason I am fully convinced that presenting it has been not only untimely, but deleterious. Elder Butler has had such an amount of burdens he was not prepared to do this subject justice. Brother E. J. W. Wagoner has had his mind exercised on this subject, but to bring these differences into our general conferences is a mistake. It should not be done. There are those who do not go deep, who are not Bible students, who will take positions decidedly for or against, grasping at apparent evidence. Yet it may not be truth, and to take differences into our conferences where the differences become widespread, thus sending forth all through the fields various ideas, one in opposition to the other, is not God's plan, but at once raises questionings, doubts whether we have the truth, whether after all we are not mistaken and in error. The Reformation was greatly retarded by making prominent differences on some points of faith, and each party holding tenaciously to those things where they differed. We shall see eye to eye ere long, but to become firm and considerate your duty to present your views in decided opposition to the faith or truth as it has been taught by us as a people, is a mistake, and will result in harm, and only harm, as in the days of Martin Luther. Begin to draw apart and feel at liberty to express your ideas without reference to the views of your brethren, and a state of things will be introduced that you do not dream of. My husband had some ideas on some points differing from the views taken by his brethren. I was shown that however true his views were, God did not call for him to put them in front before his brethren and create differences of ideas. While he might hold these views subordinate himself, once they are made public, minds would seize upon them, and just because others believe differently would make these differences the whole burden of the message, and get up contention and variance. There are the main pillars of our faith, subjects which are of vital interest, the Sabbath, the keeping of the commandments of God. Speculative ideas should not be agitated, for there are peculiar minds that love to get some point that others do not accept, and argue and attract everything to that one point, urging that point, magnifying that point, when it is really a matter which is not of vital importance, and will be understood differently. Twice I have been shown that everything of a character to cause our brethren to be diverted from the very points now essential for this time, should be kept in the background. Christ did not reveal many things that were truth, because it would create a difference of opinion and get up disputations. But young men who have not passed through this experience we have had, would as soon have a brush as not. Nothing would suit them better than a sharp discussion. If these things come into our conference, I would refuse to attend one of them, for I have had so much light upon the subject that I know that unconsecrated and unsanctified hearts would enjoy this kind of exercise. Too late in the day, brethren, too late in the day. We are in the great day of atonement, a time when a man must be afflicting his soul, confessing his sins, humbling his heart before God, and getting ready for the great conflict. When these contentions come in before the people, they will think one has the argument, and then that another directly opposed has the argument. The poor people become confused and the conference will be a dead loss, worse than if they had had no conference. Now when everything is dissension and strife, there must be decided efforts to handle, to publish with pen and voice these things that will reveal only harmony. Elder J. H. Wagoner has loved discussions and contention. I fear that E. J. W. Wagoner has cultivated a love for the same. We need now good, humble religion. E. J. W. Wagoner needs humility, meekness, and Brother Jones can be a power for good if he will constantly cultivate practical godliness, that he may teach this to the people. But how do you think I feel to see our two leading papers in contention? I know how these papers came into existence. I know what God has said about them, that they are one, that no variance should be seen in these two instrumentalities of God. They are one and they must remain one, breathing the same spirit, exercised in the same work, to prepare a people to stand in the day of the Lord, one in faith, one in purpose. The Sickle, a missionary paper briefly published in 1886, was started in Battle Creek, but it is not designed to take the place of the Signs, and I cannot see that it is really needed. The Signs of the Times is needed and will do that which the Sickle cannot. I know if the Signs is kept full of precious articles, food for the people, that every family should have it. But a pain comes to my heart every time I see the Sickle. I say it is not as God would have it. If Satan can get in dissension among us as a people, he will only be too glad. I do not think that years will wipe out the impressions made at our last conference. I know how these things work. I am satisfied that we must have more of Jesus and less of self. If there is a difference upon any parts of the understanding of some particular passage of Scripture, then do not be with pen or voice making your differences apparent, and making a breach when there is no need of this. We are one in faith in the fundamental truths of God's Word, and one object must be kept in view constantly, that is, harmony and cooperation must be maintained without compromising one principle of truth. And while constantly digging for the truth as for hidden treasure, be careful how you open new and conflicting opinions. We have a worldwide message. The commandments of God and the testimonies of Jesus Christ are the burden of our work. To have unity and love for one another is the great work now to be carried on. There is danger of our ministers dwelling too much on doctrines, preaching altogether too many discourses on argumentative subjects when their own soul needs practical godliness.